It's much more than a setting a time or a day that we are thankful, especially for the child of God. We have many things in the Scripture, how that we are to be thankful, how we are to rejoice in the good things that He has done for us. We live in a society that has just about taken all of our special days, and things have been changed around so much, but I'm glad that we have the Scripture that tells us as a believer that we are to have a thankful heart and a heart of being unworthy of what He has done for us and being thankful of His blessings upon us. In Colossians chapter number 3, I want to begin reading in verse number 15. And we'll read down through verse number 17. And then we'll go back to the book of Romans, and we'll show a contrast in this word of thankfulness or thanksgiving. In verse number 15 of Colossians chapter 3, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Here we find Paul tells the people of the church of Colossae that they are to be a thankful people. And goes on in verse number 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Here Paul tells us that if we have a thankful heart, we will admonish one another, we'll rejoice together, we'll sing together, we'll honor the Lord by the message that we put out from our lives of a thankful heart for what He has done for us. That is there's many things that transpire or that takes place from a person that has a thankful heart. But on the other side of the coin, if you look back into the book of Romans, chapter number 1, in Romans chapter 1, of course, this is the chapter that tells us the way of the wicked, the way of the world. But when you come to chapter 1 and verse 21, it tells us, and the Scripture says here, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." The process of taking that takes place here is a people that knew the Lord and they forgot God. They knew the things about the Lord, but they didn't glorify Him as God, and therefore they were very unthankful in their hearts. And here's the result of that. They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became foolish in their life because of an unthankful heart, a heart that had no desire to know God. And so therefore they are darkened, and their lives and minds are changed in the way of the things that should be responsible in their life to the Lord. They knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. I believe if they had continued thankful in their heart, things would not have changed as drastically as they did. And we could go on and read in Romans chapter 1 all the process that takes place because of an unthankful heart. But this morning I want us to look at the positive side. The Bible is very positive in every aspect of life. The Scripture gives us a positive message, and even though there are negative things there, there are positive things that will enhance us and help us in our walk with the Lord. As I said a moment ago, as saved people, we should not allow just one day to be the only day that we are thankful, or that we really meditate upon thankfulness to God. To many people, this coming Thursday, it has become so secularized that it's nothing more than a day off to eat a lot of turkey and a lot of ham, to watch a lot of ball games, to go hunting. Now we have to add in there go shopping, because that's That's a main thing now of this holiday. And so we are moving away and have moved away from the spiritual aspect of what Thanksgiving really is all about. Most Americans have really forgotten that they ought to be thankful to the Lord for even life that they have and the good things that God has blessed them with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us that we should give thanks in everything. Everything that comes our way, there's a reason for that. There's a possibility of things that come to us that maybe are not as good as we want them to be, but we are to realize that all things work together for good of those that love God, and we know that our lives are in His hand, and so we are to give thanks in everything that we have. And so our Lord knows what we need. He even knows we need some troubles. He even knows that we need some good times. He knows that we have tragedies that come to our life, but we as a child of God, we are to depend upon God and have His love upon us and know that He has everything under control. I mentioned last week that the god of this world is the devil. He's in control of a lot of things, but He doesn't have total control of anything. And so this morning we're dealing with the Lord, and He has control of everything. He has control of my life. He has control of your life. Even though we sometimes do not let Him manifest Himself as He would desire to, He still knows how to take care of our lives and how to help us. Psalms 100 and verse number 4 tells us to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I want to just share a few things this morning of what we as believers should have a thankful heart toward Him. Why should I be thankful to the Lord? Why should I have a thankful heart that God has done so many things for me? Why and what should I be thankful for in my life? As I was thinking on those things, I think, first of all, that you and I as a believer, as a Christian, we should certainly be thankful for that little word in the Scripture that is the word truth. The Bible tells us that the truth shall make you free. The Scripture says that thy word is truth. The Bible says in John 14:6, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the first thing that comes to our heart and to have a relationship with the Lord is that we must know truth. We must have the ability to recognize what truth is and how God gives it to us. The truth of God has freed us from all kind of iniquity and freed us from the gates of hell, and He has taken us and made us a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by the philosophy of men, not by what people think, but by what the Word of God says to us. You and I this morning should be very thankful that we have been exposed to truth. Some of us were raised and we have had truth given to us all of our lives, but some are not that fortunate. But it's an amazing thing to realize how the Lord can work things around to reveal Himself to us, that we would know what truth really is. You see, truth has freed us. It's made us free indeed, the Scripture says. We have been freed from the penalty of sin. No longer is the penalty on my head. No longer am I condemned to death because I've been freed from that penalty. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that a person, he that sins, shall die. Well, if that be the case, then we're all in trouble spiritually. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ came one day and He took my sin upon Himself. He freed me from that, and I, through my belief and acceptance of the gospel, I have been freed from the penalty of sin. I'm going to die physically. You're going to die physically unless the Lord comes. But the spiritual death no longer has a hold upon us. We are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are free. We are freed indeed. And therefore we have liberty in the Lord. And the penalty of sin over us has been already taken by Jesus Christ when He died on the cross for our sins. I have been freed from that penalty of sin. One day I will be freed from the very personality and the person of the devil, the Satan that the Scripture calls him, and we'll no longer have to deal with him. Thank God we know the end of the story. He's forever banished from life, and he will be chained in the darkness of damnation throughout all eternity. And thank God that is truth that God reveals to us that I can be saved. One of the most important, or the most important things to mankind is that they know the truth on how to go to heaven. If we were to go out this morning and we'd take all you'd have to do is take a trip to Walmart and visit and talk to people, maybe even some people that we might know personally, and ask them, how does a person go to heaven? That's a very simple. The Philippian jailer asked one time, he said, what must I do to be saved? He's really asking the same question, just a different way. How can I go to heaven? What process? What takes place? How can a man that is wicked and sinful in his sin, how can he be accepted in God that I can enter into heaven? Now, everybody today, we hear so much about this idea that everybody's going to heaven. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, and when they pass from this life, they are literally talked about going into heaven. But I'll tell you, according to the Word of God, the only people that go to heaven are those that have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that have accepted Him in their heart and their life, it's a personal experience that takes place to everyone that goes to heaven. We're not saved because we are good people. We are not saved because we are church people. We are not saved because we're Baptist people. We're not saved because of any of those things. We are saved because one day we trusted personally the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was raised in church all my life, but that didn't make me able to go to heaven without a personal experience in the Lord. Now, a lot of people this morning are in churches that have no idea of how to go to heaven. They'll give you a lot of their traditions. They'll give you a lot of their ways, a lot of their thoughts, a lot of things that's been handed down from generation to generation to generation, the traditions of men, the Scripture calls it. But this book here before me this morning gives you the way to heaven. And thank God we know the truth. Thank God He has permitted us to be able to know the truth and have freedom in our life. So therefore, we are fortified, we are built up in Him. And I worry about a lot of things sometimes that I do. I'm sorry for a lot of things maybe that I say, but I never have to worry about going to hell because one day I personally trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And thank God for that. That's a truth that many people do not have. It's one of the most simple things in the Word of God is how to be saved. And it has been so clouded by religion. Religion is the greatest enemy that is to the truth of salvation. For religion has their ways, but thank God He has His way. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So I'm thankful this morning, and I believe all of us should and would agree to this, that I'm thankful that God revealed to me the truth. You see, there's a lot of people that are even raised in good churches that really do not have the revelation of what real truth is. Their minds and lives and their whole attitude has turned away from the Lord. But God has revealed that to us, and we believe it. We trust it, and thank God. That puts us on the walk. That puts us on the steps toward glory that can never be changed, can never be altered because of life or things that happen. And so thankful for truth and thankful that that truth reveals the Son of God. I've already given those things about the Lord Jesus Christ and how that He is our way and our truth, and certainly He is our life. Thankful for the gift of salvation. Thankful for the gift of God. I dare say that any of us in here this morning could adequately testify or tell what Christ really did for us. We can experience it. We can have the feelings of it. Oh my, but when we think about that God so loved the world, when we think about the great love that God had for a people that were ungrateful and a people that were very despising toward God, yet He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's unspeakable, and we are unable to really tell all the blessings that God, but I'm thankful Jesus came. I don't know why He came. I don't understand why that He would want me or He would desire me. And he saw nothing in us that would make us desirable other than He loved us and He wanted to have a people that would be called by His name. It can never be changed. It's an unmatchable experience that only God can give us. Nobody else can do that for us. I love my daughter, but I could not make her a Christian. I love my grandchildren, and I cannot make them a Christian. That only takes place from that personal experience that they have with the Lord and that I had one day with Him. Thankful for salvation. Thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. For He did not have to come. He did not have to die. He did not have to suffer, but thank God He did. And this morning, because of that, we are here under the good grace of the Lord, experiencing the blessings of the Lord. And this coming Thursday, we can sit down at a table and have a thankful heart, not just for food, but a thankful heart for life, a thankful heart for eternity. The Lord is the rock of our salvation. He is sure and steadfast. He is that security that we have in our life. When we come to the Lord, we know the truth, we hear the truth, we accept Jesus Christ, we're satisfied in Him, and we are secure in Him, then the next thing is that God gives us a new life. He gives us an abundance of good things, a new life. We're no longer a sinner going to hell, but now we're a sinner going to heaven. You see, He doesn't change us being a sinner, but He changes our destination, changes our eternity, because we're a sinner saved by grace. And that sin will always be there with us until, as I mentioned a while ago, one day we'll be delivered from the very presence and the penalty of sin, and we have life eternal. It's a new life of what God can do with us. To know the will of God, to do the will of God, to experience the will of God is one of the greatest things that a Christian can ever accomplish and have in their life. We can declare God's word. We can tell people. We can declare what? Truth. It all comes back to that first thing, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And declare His word, and that we can depend upon Him for everything and for every purpose of life. So when you really think about it, we have a lot of things to be thankful for that we do not sit down at a table and to enjoy. We do have a number of things that are unseen to a world that's without God, unknown, and a world that is unthankful. They have no idea of what life really is and the good things of the Lord, the goodness of our God. Can you go back in your life, and I'm sure we all can, and to go back and think about one particular or two or three things that the Lord was really good to me. He did something special for me. He blessed me, and nobody maybe else knew I needed a blessing. I had need in my life, or you had a need in your life, and God, through His goodness, just opened up the windows of heaven, and there it's taken care of. And there the blessing of the Lord, and that's all because of the goodness of our God. The goodness of God, what He does for us. He gently led us to salvation. He comes along and gives us the gift of life, of salvation. He prepares a place for us, and one day He's going to usher us out of this world into His world. And I'll not have to worry about anything else that's in this world. So we're to be thankful for these wonderful things, these good things that God has for us. Now this coming Thursday, how many of you are planning a big meal? Sure we are. We cook, and we cook some more. And we sit down and enjoy, and we are thankful for the abundance of things. You and I this morning, we are a very blessed people. Most people in this world do not have what we have. Most people don't have half or a third or just a small portion of things that we have. God has given us the abundance of things. And I'm afraid America has taken those things and made many of those their gods. They've made many times those things that would be something that they would desire, something they look forward to, the same things that they would have in their life, just things. Well, life is not things, but thank God for the things that He gives us in life. The abundance of life. The abundance of serving the Lord. We all know these words that I'm going to read. This is a portion of that is now a song, but it's written by a man in a mental institute and wrote on the wall of the room. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, the measureless and strong, it shall forever endure the saints' and angels' song. All the love of God. You and I this morning, we have a hard time sometimes expressing the love of God. And here this individual was sitting in a mental institute. Things were not right in his life. But he either had known the Lord and had problems, or maybe something happened that he came to know God there. He realized that to tell about the love of God is impossible. If you wrote about it, you would drain the ocean if it was ink. To use the stalks of the world and the field, if that would be the quill, and every man, if that's his trade, he said it's impossible to know the love of God and to tell it in its completeness. The abundance of life, the abundance of things, the abundance of the love of God, the abundance of liberty. You and I this morning, we have freedom that many people in this world do not have. And I'm not talking about the freedom we have in our country, and thank God for that. Thank the Lord this morning that we live in a country where we can gather together and not fear and not have to worry about some government official coming in and telling us we can't do that. It hasn't happened yet. It may in some day in the future, but we do not have to worry about it because we have freedom in this nation of worshiping the Lord or not worshiping the Lord any way we choose. I would fight for an individual's right to not worship God because I have the right to worship the Lord. It's a freedom. It's a liberty that is really given to us by the Lord and protected to us by our Constitution. You and I this morning, we have abundance. We have many, many things that we can rejoice in, and those things that we can be able to say, I am thankful for that. This coming Thursday, we'll sit down and we'll have abundance. But it's more than the turkey, it's more than the ham. It's more than all the fixings that go with it. Here in a few moments, we'll go out into the gym and we'll have a Thanksgiving meal. And we have the turkey, we have the ham, we have all the fixings with that. But life is more than that. And thankfulness is more than just those things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Oh, thank God this morning we have eternal things that will never perish, will never go away, and we certainly need to be thankful for them. If you would this morning, here in the very closing moments, turn to 1 Peter in the New Testament, chapter number 2. You and I have an identification. We are called Christians. The word Christian means that we are Christ-like. Whether we live up to that standard or not, that's what the word means. But the Bible gives us some identification that we have, and I'm glad that we can have that, and we should certainly be thankful for what the Bible calls His people. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter, excuse me, chapter number 2, verse number 9. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look at verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Here we find in these two verses, we find a number of statements or a number of words that describes the believer. It describes the child of God, what we are and what we are called. The Bible tells us here that we are a selected people. We're a chosen people. Aren't you glad this morning the Lord has a choice and He said, I love you. He said upon Calvary He loved the world and He loved every person that had lived and was living and should live. The Lord said, I've prayed for you, and He continually shows us that we are a chosen generation. That means that we are born from another country and we're headed to heaven. We're going there as His people. The Bible tells us here that we are a stately people. We are a royal priesthood, a royalty we have in our life. We find that we are a sanctified people, a holy nation. We are a people that are showing people, we show forth His praises. Every one of us this morning, every day of our life, should show forth the good grace and the praises of our God to a world around us that knows nothing. That's what makes us a what? Peculiar people. We are different. We are individually different. I was just thinking yesterday, everywhere you go, people everywhere. You go to the larger cities and much more population. And to realize that every one of those folks are different. They look different, they act different, they think different, because we're individuals. But I'm glad this morning the Lord has made you and I as a Christian a peculiar people. To their eyes, we're strange. Sometimes we get mocked for the way we act. We don't act like they do. Sometimes we get talked about by what we do and even the way we dress and the things we say. We are mocked on every corner, but you know what? We are a peculiar people. Those differences make people look at us and make them understand we are not like everybody else. I don't want to be like some people I see. I don't want to act like many people I see. I don't want to talk like a lot of people I hear. I don't want that in my life. God has made us a nation that is separated unto Him, and we are peculiar to the world. And they mock us. They make fun of us. And they think they are so mighty in their words. I read some things the other day that was a mockery just to good things. Why do people do that? They do not know the love of God that we have. They do not understand that God has made His people different. We are sure for heaven. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we, in the world's eyes, we are strange. I'm thankful that God has put an identification upon us. The scriptures in the Old Testament, there's a verse, I believe it's in Isaiah, that says that we are to put on the garments of salvation. That means we look different. That means we are different in our actions and our ways. We are to be a believer, to be thankful. Then lastly, we certainly should be thankful that we have victory over death and we have a home in heaven. As I said a moment ago, we're all going to die if the Lord doesn't come. as we go to the funeral homes and to the cemeteries week by week, we have the reality come before us that we are a dying generation. I was talking to someone last night, and they were talking about some little town in Crittenden County, and said most everybody that they knew had died. Most everybody was gone, and the next generation they did not know. I go back to my hometown, and I walk the streets, and I go in the grocery store, and I think, surely I'll find somebody that I know. A lot of them have already gone. I get word every month or so of another classmate that has died. Another friend that has has passed away. And as time progresses, they'll get word on me also. Because we're a dying generation. But I'm glad, thank God, I have a home in heaven. I have victory. I may die physically, but I have victory over death because one day I'm going to rise again. Thessalonians tells us that we will rise in Christ. Heaven is our home. Heaven is a place that is real. It's just as real as the pew you're sitting on. It's just as real as this building. No comparison, but it's just as real as where we are right now or where we will be this afternoon. It's not a fairy tale story. It's not something that we cannot understand. Well, the scripture even gives us some details of what it's like, and so it's real. And so we find that heaven is the home, first of all, of the Redeemer. Thank God He is there. Our Lord is there. The Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and He's working for us. He's making intercession for us. When we falter, when we fail, Jesus makes intercession for us. He pleads our case. Not only is it the home of the Redeemer, thank God it's the home of the redeemed. There have been many folks that we know that have already passed off the scene, I think of even in this church. People that used to be here very faithful, now they're no longer in their pew, they're no longer in their place. We no longer hear their amens. We no longer hear their singing. But they're at home. They're going to a place. They've gone to a place that is home. It is the home of the Redeemer. It's the home of the redeemed. Heaven is the happiness of the righteous. Thank God, joy forever in the presence of the Lord. It is the household of rejoicing, for in heaven there is no sadness. One day God's going to wipe away all the tears, and heaven's going to be a place of rejoicing forever and forever. May God help us this morning to realize I got a lot to be thankful for. I have a lot of things, yes. I have a lot of things I can grab a hold of. We have homes, we have clothes, we have cars, we have food, we have life, we have our daily activities. And those are all good things God's blessed us with. Because I can think of a lot of people that do not have what we have. We have our health. Sometimes you get sort of, I've never had any health problems in my whole life. And these last 2 years have been sort of trying. But still, compared to some people, I'm very healthy. Because there are a lot of folks worse than I am. Worse than you. But thank God this morning that I have my health. That's something that's very, very precious. I'm glad I could get out of bed this morning. I'm glad I could come to church. Sometimes you come to church, you don't really feel like coming to church. This morning, I was thinking, man, I wish this was Saturday. Because I wouldn't have to move. I wouldn't have to get up. I wouldn't have to get at it. Wouldn't have to come down here and unlock the doors and turn on the heat and get ready and put on a suit and tie and get where I just despise these things. Like you all do. But we come to church because we have ability and we have health and we have the Word of God that says we're to assemble ourselves together. I do not get this kind of fellowship at home, as much as I like home. I do not get this kind of fellowship with friends as much as I like friends. I like people. I'm a people person. I enjoy being with people. I enjoy being around different folks. We went to Calvert City last night and had dinner with some friends. I enjoyed it, but it's not this kind of enjoyment. Those are some of the things. This is some of the eternal blessings that God gives us. So this coming Thursday, when we sit down, and maybe you've cooked hard and long and said, well, I'm glad this is over. And you sit down and sort of relax. May you be thankful for those things. But the real meaning of Thanksgiving is that we are to enter into His courts with thanksgiving. That we're to remember what He's done for us spiritually. Thank God I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. That's a spiritual blessing. That's an eternal blessing that we should be thankful for every day of our life. But we can sort of key in on it Thursday. And we'll sit down and we'll eat and we'll say, boy, why did I eat so much? Be thankful that you could. You sit down and maybe watch a ball game, or sometimes folks go hunting, and different family activities. Might even go to Walmart, who knows? All those things God has blessed us with, and I should be thankful. Remember, when we're not thankful, what happens? They thought themselves to be wise, and they became fools. The whole key to what we read this morning, thankfulness brings on blessings. Unthankfulness brings on cursings. So thanksgiving in our heart, pretty important. May we not become wise in our own eyes, but trusting Him because of His marvelous grace of making us a Christian. I wasn't born a Christian. I wasn't confirmed a Christian. I wasn't baptized a Christian. I became a Christian when I trusted Him. Praise the Lord for that personal relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should be what? Thankful. Let's stand this morning.